Welcome.
Welcome.
It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your host, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sharon Bradley, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We have a very special show for you this evening, and we are honored to have Peggy McCall join us on our show. Before we bring our guests on the show, I'd first like to introduce my co-host this evening. First, I'd like to introduce Steve Frampton. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Thank you, Sharon. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm extremely well, thank you, Sharon. I'm excited about the show.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So do you want to share a little bit about yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings with Psychic Access. I'm particularly excited about this evening's show. I'm really passionate about people identifying and pursuing their purpose and setting goals in life. And I'm also an avid believer in the law of attraction. So I'm looking forward to this evening very much.
Good stuff. It's going to be good. So thanks, Steve. Now we have Jackie Hahn with us here. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Sharon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful.
That's good. So do you want to tell a little bit about to our listeners what you do?
Sure. I'm also a reader here on PsychicAccess.com. I'm an empathic, intuitive. I do angelic readings, so I call in the energy of the angels, which are always filled with love and compassion, and also help people work through their situation if they feel they want to take that next step with, very powerful strategies and tools. So, you know, it's more than just a reading. I feel like it encompasses everything. So, and excited to be here. I'm looking forward to tonight's show as well.
That's great, Jackie. Thank you. Now we have Res Miranda with us tonight, which is lovely. So welcome, Res Miranda.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm glad you are. So is there anything you want? Can you share a little bit about yourself tonight?
Sure. I also work on PsychicAccess.com very happily. I am a clairvoyant and a clairsentient, which means I see things and hear things from spirit, though, in a good way. I'd love to help people find out how powerful they really are and to really learn how to experience that spark of the divine that we all have and can connect with. So I'm very excited about tonight's guest as well, too. Powerful show. Thank you so much for letting me participate.
Oh, I'm glad you came. It's lovely. My name is Sharon, and I am also psychic on Psychic Access. And I don't use any tools, but I see and hear from spirit, and that's how I do my readings. So, now I'm so honored to have the opportunity to interview Peggy McCall this evening. Peggy McCall is a New York Times best-selling author and an internationally recognized expert in the area of goal achievement, and an expert in helping people create products, make money online, and create bestsellers. With her goal achievement seminars, speaking engagements, and books, she has been inspiring individuals, professional athletes, and organizations to realize their goals and reach their maximum potential for the past 25 years. I called the show Inspiration because that is what she does. She inspires people with a dream to make it a reality. For more information on Peggy McCall, please visit her website at www.destinies.com. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show on Angels from Beyond last week, you will find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all the previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. So, do we have Peggy? Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. It's such an honor. I'm so grateful that you took. I know you've been really busy and you took the time to be here. So it's just lovely.
Yeah, this is great. A nice break and that my son's moving, as you know, and it's just a nice little break and all the excitement of the move.
Oh, that's good. So the one thing I wanted to talk right away is that when you do your email, you say, how may I serve? And I just thought that was like so beautiful. And did that come to you? It talked to my heart. So how did that come to you?
Well, you know, I've been in business for myself for about 17 years. And the reason why I got into business was to be of service, you know, to bring something of value to the world based on what I felt and believed and just knew inherently that I had to share with the world. You know, it's not an ego thing. It's not an assumption that I have something that other people don't, but really just to be a reminder of what we already know and remind people of what's possible. So, you know, being in my own business, you know, as an entrepreneur, I realized that, you know, you've got to be very clear to let people know that you are being of service. You're here to be of service. And, you know, you may not have a boss being an entrepreneur, but you are serving others. And so
yeah.
it sort of came to me, you know, intuitively, just like instinctively, it just really felt right. And I've even registered the domain name, How May We Serve, and I've thought about writing a book called How May We Serve, you know, people that have been of service, that have done really well in their careers by having that mentality and following through on it, you know, by being of service to others.
Oh, that's so lovely. So did
like
you always know
right
what
now.
Your passion was? Like you said, you've been in business for so many years, but did you always know what your passion would be?
No, I did not know. And I have that conversation with my son sometimes because he tries different things. He's like, well, I don't really like that, you know, and he feels bad. And I say to him, I said, listen, honey, I don't think I really knew what I wanted to do until, you know, I was probably, you know, close to 40. But I had an idea of the general area. You know, I had an introduction to self-help and personal development at the young age of 19, and which
wow.
I'm very, very happy that I had that experience. I met Bob Proctor. And that was 33 years ago. And I met Bob Proctor, you know, way back when. I was introduced to this whole concept of self-help and personal development. And it wasn't that I knew at that time that I would be working in this field one day. But what I knew at that time was that I definitely wanted to passionately study it because I felt that I needed to learn everything that I could to really, I guess the best way to explain it is to fix my life. I felt that my life needed to be fixed. You know, at that time, that's what I believed. Now, right now, I believe that everything's perfect just the way it is. But at the time, I thought I was, like, broken. And if I was broken, I needed to be fixed. So it wasn't until I got into really studying and applying personal development and having the positive change that it sort of evolved. I really felt that my sort of direction on what I would be doing was an evolution. It moved to a point of, okay, I want to work in that field. But I didn't know what that would be. I didn't know what it was going to be like. And even when I incorporated my business, I started working part-time. You know, I was doing workshops at my dining room table. And you know what? I still do workshops sometimes at my dining room table. And I'll do them in ballrooms too, but you know, it was a lot of fun. And then I started, you know, sort of chasing corporate business and doing workshops for corporations. And I found that, you know, doing workshops in corporations, the people that were in the room usually didn't want to be there. They were told to be there. You know, you're going to this workshop. And so I found that, you know what? I like to feed people that are hungry. You know, people that really want to learn. That's who I want to work with. So then I had another shift. I just want to work with people who want to experience positive change, people who want to grow their business. And then I sort of shifted over to, you know, a new area. So, you know, it's really been an evolution. It wasn't like a clear distinction, bang-o, one day, lightning bolt. Okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do. It's really been an evolution.
But each thing, like if you look back, like I kind of do this. Sometimes I look back and I realize that each thing happened for a reason to get me to where I am.
Right.
Do you see where that happened in your life?
Oh my God, absolutely. Everything has just sort of been a path. And I think if we stay open to that as well, because even right now, you know, someone says to me, "What are you going to be doing in 5 years?" Like, well, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I don't know. Golfing more, I hope. My husband would like, but, you know, I don't know. I just stay open to being of service. And as an entrepreneur, I think, and especially with technology these days, we've really got to really keep sort of like our hand on the pulse of what's going on in the world. Where are the needs? How can we help fulfill them? You know, how can we do it in different ways, effective ways? You know, this internet has just given us such amazing opportunity to reach people anywhere. In my opinion, the borders came down. When the World Wide Web opened up, the borders came down, and now we're even so much better connected than we've ever been. So it's a great way to be connected and a great way to be of service.
Yeah, like some people are famous instantly, you know. It's great, the internet. So I was listening to an interview of yours when I was checking, just, you know, trying to get some questions together, and I read about your first book and how it kind of took over your house, and I thought, what a great story. Can you tell us about that, or is that something you want to talk about?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
So, when I was
in my own business, I ended up going to work for a technology company, and I worked for them full time as a vice president of corporate development, and I was doing goal achievement work for this corporation. So still in alignment with what my vision, my mission was. And the company ended up going bankrupt. So I found myself not working anymore. So I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do? And I decided I'm going to write a book. So I wrote this book, and I self-published it. It was called On Being the Creator of Your Destiny. And it was a very simple understanding of how we're creative and also how we're destructive, because we're both, you know, we're both of those things. And how we need to understand that so that we can make it work for, you know, get it to work for us in our lives. So self-published this book, printed 3,000 copies. I had them delivered to my home. The guy delivers, you know, backs up the truck to the house. He goes, where do you want the books? You know, want them in your basement, in your garage? And I said, no, just put them right here in the dining room near the front door. Because I was under the assumption that if you write a great book, the buyers will come. I really assumed, and this is really what I would call an ignorant state, you know, and it wasn't blissful. Like, ignorance was not bliss at this point. So I just thought, well, if I'm going to write this book, I'm going to have buyers all over the place, and I'm going to get booked on radio, and I'm going to be doing all these speaking engagements, and that wasn't happening. So I get the book in, and a friend of mine said, you need to learn how to market your book, because if you don't learn how to market your book, they're just going to sit there in your dining room and just continue to take up space. So I went to this workshop on book marketing, and the one speaker had said, if you're an author and you've written your book, 5% of your job is done. And I remember thinking, 5% of my job? Like, that was a huge job to write the book and self-publish it. And he said, 95% is the marketing. And so it was like, okay, I realized at that point I needed to learn how to market. Now, I was a single mom at the time. I'm remarried now. Single mom, it was the sole responsibility for bringing in revenue in my household. And because I hadn't been working, and I worked on this book and self-published this book and was spending money, I managed to accumulate quite a bit of debt. So I reached a point where I was like, I got to turn this around, and I have to turn it around now. And I heard about this guy who had done an internet marketing campaign. So I just did a little research, found out who he was. I called him up. I said, tell me what you did. I want to know everything. And I modeled his success. And I did a big 48-hour special offer campaign. I got all these partners on board to support me, and I cleared out all my inventory. And what was really exciting is people came to my website to buy the book, and they not only bought the book, but I ended up putting some other products up there for sale, like a guidebook and a workbook and a video and a cassette, made these other products, and people were buying everything that I had. And it was exceptional. So, you know, I got my little taste of, you know, what the experience was like marketing online, and that's really when it took off. You know, I realized within a few weeks of people getting my book, they said, well, what else do you have? It's like, oh, what else do I have? Okay, they want more, right? They want more. They want courses. They want programs. I created an online course. I started to market that on the internet. Then I created another book, and then another book, and then another program, then mentoring services, and it just evolved to a point of, you know, serving people all over the world, having clients everywhere, generating millions of dollars in revenue from the comfort of my home. So I turned things around, and I mean, it was a lot of work, but a lot of fun, a lot of great effort, and incredible learning experiences as a result.
And do you think that's something that's available to everyone, or do you think you just have a special gift? Like,
yeah,
do you
believe? Definitely have a special gift. I'm just kidding. That's so funny. You know, I have this course. I have a very intensive program. You actually can't even find it on my website right now because I had removed it because I'm in the middle of delivering. I call it my high level program, sort of my elite group. And I was teaching a class today, and I go through models like success models, people that have done really, really well on the internet. And it's funny you should ask that particular question, because today when I was teaching, I was sharing an example of a guy who just did $7.1 million in a matter of 3 weeks. And I have multiple examples of that, like multi-million dollar, you know, people that got an idea, rolled with it, and I present, what did they do? How did they do it? Like everything. And I said, look, I just want you to know this guy is, you know, he's a high school graduate. He graduated high school, but he doesn't have a formal education. Pretty simple guy. He's not technical at all. Neither am I. It's kind of like that whole idea. Anybody can do this. Anybody. And I mean, all you really need is one idea. I mean, you don't even have to be skilled in anything. You just need one idea to follow through. And I've got countless stories of people that have done just that. You know, they just get it. And you know, where it really starts is making a decision on an outcome. It's like, well, what is it you want to, you know, create for yourself or for others? I mean, a lot of people want to make a positive contribution to the lives of millions of others. That's like my mission statement. So knowing that, then I've created my mission statement. Then I look at, okay, well, what do I want to generate in revenue this year? So let's say I pick a number. And then from there, I'll think, okay, well, what can I do to, you know, to serve people and generate that revenue, profitable, you know, revenue-producing opportunities? And I'll just let the ideas come to me. And it's like a flood sometimes. And they just come. Sometimes they come, you know, fast and furious. You've heard that expression. I don't like that expression, fast and furious. Sounds funny. But anyways, they come so fast. And then sometimes I'll roll with them. It's like, okay, I'm going to launch this. And other times I won't. You know, I'll sort of percolate with an idea and see if it's something that really feels right, because if it doesn't, then I'll let it go and I'll move on to another idea and then I'll roll with that one. But anybody can do this and anybody can be successful. And that's another great opportunity that the internet gives us. It's open. It's a highway that's open to anyone. There's not signs on it saying, okay, if you're this, you can't get on, or if you have a red car, you can't get on, or, you know, like there's no prejudice. There isn't. I mean, anybody can set up, you know, a shop online today and do really well with it.
Right. And why do you think people are so resistant to achieve their success?
Ooh, that's a big question. I would say, you know, the resistance comes from a number of things, and they're simple. Like sometimes it's because they don't know how. So they may have the desire, you know, really genuinely have the desire that they want to do well and want to be successful and like to earn the income, but they immediately start to think, well, I don't know how I could do that. Or they'll find every reason why not. Well, I can't do that. Well, nobody else can do it. It's kind of like, you know, gloom and doom. You know, people that have that sort of mentality of gloom and doom, it's like they're fixated on limiting beliefs, and they don't look beyond that. They don't even consider another opportunity. That's why I love to study success, because when I study success, I find inspiration in what other people have done. And even if somebody hasn't done it, it doesn't mean it can't be done. I mean, it depends. I mean, we're physically limited, of course. I can't go to the top of the building, jump off, and fly. I mean, that's not going to happen, although I guess it could if I had the right equipment on my physical body. But, you know, I think it comes down to, if people can't get the answer or find the answer right away, then they'll just discount it. They'll just say, well, it can't be done. So the ingredient that's required is faith. It's this little thing called faith, which isn't such a little thing. It's a big thing. But I'll tell you, you don't need a lot of it to really move mountains. You know, it's like they say, faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. And so the challenge is that people don't know how to practice that emotion. Most of the time, they've been like pig pen, right, with that sort of swirl of dirt all around them. They're swirling in a fear state. And I'm not saying that's neither bad nor good. It just is, right? It just is what they've learned. We're habitual beings. It's learned behavior. So if we want to create something different, we've got to have faith and just really believe, you know, believe in the idea, and, you know, you'll find a way. And even if you don't know how you're going to do it. So, you know, it really comes down to having those limiting beliefs, you know, recognizing that they're there and everybody has them, and then just choosing, you know what, I'm not going to buy into that anymore. I'm not going to give that any more energy. I'm going to focus on what I want to create and not what I don't want to experience, and I'm going to create some new things.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Peggy, one of our other co-hosts, Res Miranda, has a question for you, so she's going to ask it now, okay?
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Res Miranda. How are you?
I'm terrific. First of all, I wanted to thank you for being alive.
Thank you for being alive.
Great. You're welcome. I'm already so inspired by what I'm hearing from you tonight. And, you know, I wanted to just make sure, because I think I just got this great inspiration too. So many of us, I've noticed anyway, in the New Age community, especially if we're spiritual entrepreneurs and that sort of thing, we get stuck on things like, I gotta make money, or how am I gonna make money? And I think that what I'm hearing you say is that what we should do is ask, how are we going to serve people? What are we going to give to the world? And the rest of it comes, the stuff in the middle comes, if we have faith enough to stick our foot out there, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know what? I like to say that it comes down to three things, sort of three questions, because, you know, as you know, being in a spiritual practice and spiritual beings, you know, it's still really, really important that we are making money, because frankly, if you're in business and you're not generating revenue, you'll quickly be out of business, right? So, and I really believe that revenue helps us to, you know, gives us an opportunity to serve more, right? To be able to serve people in grander ways. And so it really comes down to three questions. And the first one is, you know, where is there a need in the marketplace? And then the second question is, you know, can I deliver on that? And, you know, like I said earlier, you don't have to be the expert in it, but can I deliver on that? And then the third question is, are people willing to pay money for it? Because if they're not, then, you know, obviously you're not going to be you could be doing all kinds of things and bringing, you know, thinking you're going to bring all kinds of tools to the marketplace, but then you're not going to make any money at it. And, of course, that's not going to work, right? Or not going to work for very long. Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, we all went down, so I'm not sure what was going on there. So,
oh, everybody went down. Oh, okay. I thought it was maybe here. We've had, there's been wicked storms here, and the power's been going out, and I thought maybe that was it.
Oh, in where you're living, like in Canada there?
Yeah, like, in the Ottawa region, just brutal storms. Power's been going on, off, pretty well all day.
You're kidding. I know everybody's getting bad weather. Oh, I'm near Toronto, so it's not that bad here, but I've heard that everybody's getting bad weather. I'm not quite sure if we're on the air or not, but we'll keep talking like we are. I'm sure we are. So, anyways, you were talking to you. Yes, we're on the air. Okay, good. So you're talking to Res Miranda, but she seems to have cut off here. So what we'll do is we'll just keep going. So I wanted to ask you, who is your Peggy? Like who inspired you on your journey?
Oh, you know what? That's a great question. I love that. I would say that my greatest inspiration is my son, Michelle. And, since he was born, I mean, since he arrived on the planet, he's been my inspiration. He's also a great teacher of mine. I mean, he's incredibly wise and, you know, having a son and being a mom, I always consider being the mom as the most important role I've ever been given. So yes, I'm an entrepreneur. Yes, I'm a wife too. I'm a wife as well. But being a mom is the most, most important role. And it really has, you know, it's inspired me to be more, to give more, to love more, to do more, to be a better example. And so that's my first answer to that question. And I would also say, like in my younger years, probably my mom and dad, because they, you know, they both were, you know, very hardworking people, very dedicated, devoted. And neither one of them graduated from high school. As a matter of fact, my dad didn't even go to high school. So it was in that era, you know, where you know, some parents did, you know, had to quit grade at their school at grade 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever. My mom was the same. And so they weren't formally educated. So they worked in blue collar type of jobs. And each one of them had, you know, 2 or 3 jobs at a time. There were 4 kids, you know, 6 of us in the house. We lived in a tiny 800 square foot home with 2 bedrooms. I shared a bedroom with my 2 brothers and sister. I mean, my walk-in closet today is bigger than the room was that I, you know, I shared. shared with my husband and I were talking about that the other day because he said something about, man, this is a massive closet. I said, you know what? The bedroom I grew up in was bigger or smaller than this. And so my parents were an inspiration. And then I met Bob Proctor when I was 19. He was a great inspiration. And I would say Og Mandino, who was a tremendous writer and speaker, and he was an inspiration. He passed away in the 90s. And Neil Donald Walsh from the whole Conversations with God book series, you know, his work has been a great inspiration for me. I mean, there are many others, you know, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, you know, a lot of them, which has been so much fun because they've become clients of mine. I'll never forget the day that Marianne Williamson called me on my cell phone and left a message because I was actually at a movie with my son at the time. And she left a message saying, oh, hi, Peggy. You know, I got your name from, I forget who, from Wayne Dyer or Debbie Ford or something. And she's, I'd really like to work with you and hire you. And I don't know if you know me or not. My name's Marianne Williamson. I'm thinking, know you? Are you kidding me? You know, it's been amazing. I just feel so blessed to be, you know, on this planet, you know, serving people like that as well who are, you know, serving the greater good.
Yeah, that's great. Now, did you finish your question with Res Miranda, or wasn't quite? We all got cut off, so I wasn't sure. Res Miranda, were you finished, or did you have?
No, I think probably the point was made. I just, you know, I'm very excited about understanding that, you know, it's a faith that makes the engine run, you know, and that, you know, we just have to decide to step out there and ask what we can do. And I wanted to thank you, Peggy, for that. It's something, you know, things you know, but that you forget that you know until somebody else brings it up like you did. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's like Oliver Wendell Holmes said, we all need an education in the obvious. You know, sometimes we don't see things, right? Like this program that I teach, this high-level program, I call it Online to Riches. And like, I have people on the program. I have this one woman who's a grandma. And that's her career. I mean, she's a grandmother, and she takes care of four of her babies, her grandbabies, and she loves her grandchildren so much. And she just decided, you know what, I want to do something else. And so I'm going to learn how I can have a business online. And so she signed up to learn that. I have another woman who's been actually a lawyer for many, many years, and she doesn't want to do that work anymore. She finds it conflicting, and it's unharmonious or disharmonious. And she's like, I want to do something else, something a little more meaningful. And, you know, I've heard about this internet thing. And so, you know, it's you don't have to have technical ability. You don't have to have a huge staff of people to support you. And there's so many ways that we can get people to work with us and support and collaborate. And, you know, a big part of it is having the faith, you know, that you'll find the way and attract the right people and, you know, probably make some errors along the way too, but that's okay. You know, it's like, it's, you know, the power went out a little while ago. You know what? It happens. You know, you got to, it is what it is. You know, today I was teaching my class. Four times the power went out when I was teaching because of the storms that we're having. I just got right back on, got the recording going, and away we go again. You know what? It's just the nature of the beast.
Makes life fun.
Yeah,
best way for us to start networking with people if we're just beginning our online service.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, networking is a great thing to do. And that's another thing to keep in mind. You don't have to have the contacts already. You can build relationships. You know, today I was sharing with my class this video of this guy who's doing really well online, and he was doing a testimonial for another guy that's doing really well online. And it's funny because I was watching the video, I was preparing for the class, you know, I do a lot of research and preparation before the class, and I was watching the video, and the guy starts the video and he says, you know, and my, you know, really good friend so-and-so has done this, and I'm thinking, really good friend? You guys just met a couple months ago, and I'm not being sarcastic or anything, but I just find it, it's incredible. You can make relationships in a heartbeat online, and you can establish relationships so quickly, bonds, you can create bonds just by, you know, being warm. It's like, Sharon, when you sent me the email, your warmth, energy comes through in emails, right? And when you're genuine, you're caring, you're loving, you're kind, you're reaching out to someone, you're doing it from your heart, people pick up on that. You know, they really, they feel it. You know, they're feeling the energy. And they're going to decide, you know, even though you're maybe a complete stranger and what you're asking me to do is, you know, send something out to my 100,000 people on my mailing list and you want me to do that for you, when, you know, like it's, you have to understand a couple things. One is you can establish relationships in a heartbeat, in an instant. With one email, you can get those relationships going. And if you want something, you have to ask for it. You know, I wrote a book called Be a Dog with a Bone, and there's a chapter in there called Bark for What You Want. Now, if one of my little Shih Tzus wants, I have two adorable little Shih Tzus, Pablo and Noel. And if it's time for Noel to eat, she just stands, she'll go over where the food is kept in the cabinet, and she'll, like, bark. And she won't stop until you get over there and you feed her. And if Pablo wants out because he sees a squirrel in the backyard and he's going to chase that little thing, he's at the door and he's barking, right? And he's not going to stop until you go and open the door and let him out as well. So that's what us humans need to do a little bit more of, bark for what we want.
Is it? I didn't get to read that book yet, but I want to. It looks so cute, that one. Peggy, I wanted to talk about your newsletter because I love getting your newsletter because there's always jokes in it and quotes and now do you feel that humor is the way to success? Like, I just laugh my head off when I read the jokes and share them and everything. So is there room for humor in success there?
Oh, my goodness, so. Yes, there should be room for humor everywhere, you know, absolutely everywhere. When I started my newsletter, it was like 9 years ago now. My greatest challenge, honestly, with doing my newsletter is finding good, clean, non-offensive jokes, you know, that I can share. And I usually look for jokes that are, you know, relevant to what's going on in my life. It's like earlier this week, my husband and I listed our house. So I thought, oh, I'm going to find a real estate joke, you know, just because that's what's going on in my life right now. But my father was a really funny guy, really funny guy. He used to make us laugh. And my brother, Gary, could absolutely have been a stand-up comic. And there were so many times where we'd be laughing so hard, we'd be crying, our cheeks would hurt. You know, my mother would just say to my brother, you got to stop. Like, you got to stop. It's hurting me too much from laughing so hard. So, you know, I really think humor, it's healing, of course. It has the healing agents as part of it. And it's something that should be in everyone's life. That's one of the things I love so much about my relationship with my husband, is we laugh all the time. And we laugh at just stupid stuff, but we're always laughing. And I think that's the way life's meant to be, you know. So that's why every week when I do my newsletter, I know that a lot of people go straight to the humor section because that's what they want to read. You know, regardless of the article that's there or anything else that's in it, they're just going straight for the humor.
Well, I always look first too. It's funny you say that about relationship and laughing, because sometimes my husband and I will get to bed and we'll just start giggling, and it's contagious, and then we're like, we can't go to bed because we're laughing so much. So it's cute you say that. Now, you mentioned that people come to you. Now, do people have to have an idea when they come to you, or can they just come to you and say, I don't know what it is I want, I need, you know,
You know what? I got people signing up for my mentoring service all the time, and they'll come to my site. It's funny because I never chase business, never chase my mentoring clients. They just come to my site and they'll sign up, and they don't have to have an idea. I'm a little idea machine, actually. God sort of gave me this overabundance of ideas that just continually flood into my head. And what I'll do is I'll write them down. I'll write a sort of a business plan or an idea behind it. I'll register domain names. I've got like a couple hundred of them written down. So, or I'll help others, you know, come up with their own idea if they want to. Like in this course that I've been talking about, Online to Riches program, I actually give my clients an idea. I'll tell them, I say, I got 100 ideas, so I'm going to send them out to all of you. Just choose the one you want. And what's interesting and amazing, and I know you guys probably can totally relate to this, nobody ever picks the same one. You know, it's like I send out 100 ideas out, you know, say, okay, just choose the one you want, and they'll just go for it. It's like the other day I was teaching a class, and I was talking about this law called Goya. I was talking about the natural laws of the universe, and I had John Assaraf on my radio show one day, and we're talking about, you know, the laws of cause and effect, the law of attraction, you know, law of reciprocity, and so we're going over all these different laws, and I said to John, I said, what's your favorite law? And he said, the law of Goya. And I'm thinking, okay, I've studied these laws of the universe for years. I've never heard of that one. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm on the air, right? And I'm thinking, should I, you know, tell them I don't know what that is and look like an idiot, or, you know, it's like that expression, you know, you can have people think you're stupid, or you can open your mouth and remove all doubt. So, so I decided I'm going to open my mouth and remove all doubt. I said, I don't know what the law of Goya is, John. I've never heard of that. I've studied all these laws. So what is it? And he said, it's the law of get off your beep. You know what the A's for, right?
And that's a good one.
He said, yeah, he said, it's just like taking action, right? You got to take action. And I thought, wow, that's great. So I don't know, for some reason, okay, probably in the class I'm talking about people that have taken action, because I want to explain to, you know, the people that are in my program that, you know, these are all great ideas and here's some more ideas, but really, you know, when the rubber hits the road, as they say, it's when you take action, when you follow through. And so I said, you know what, we should really start a Goya club, Goya Girls, the Goya Girls. And I think I was using some women examples. You know, here's some women that have done amazing things. I said, we should start the Goya Girls Club. And so while I'm doing that, I said to the class, I said, you know what, that's an idea. That's a business idea right now. And if I wasn't teaching right now, here's what I'd be doing. I'd be going over to GoDaddy, and I'd be typing in Goya Girls .com to see if the name was available, or I type in Goya Girls Club and see if the name was available. So I'm telling the class this, right? By the time we get to the end of the class, I think three or four of the people in the class tried to register the domain name and found that it was gone, but who took the domain name was a couple other people that are in the class, so they did follow through.
So you can't be telling everybody all your secrets.
Wow, that's
doesn't
okay.
Goya, you know isn't Goya, doesn't it mean earth in native or something? I thought Goya meant earth in Cree. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, now I find I do a lot of readings, and I find that actually, you know what, Peggy, we're going to go to a commercial break. We have to do a commercial break. So okay. We'll talk about that when we come off of that. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Okay. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Peggy McCall. And before the break, I was just about to ask you, I do a lot of readings, and I find people, I notice that a lot of people are writing books now. Like they seem that people that you wouldn't even think long time ago would write a book, it seems to be in their future. Do you think there's some kind of explosion of people writing books?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I think the reason is because it's so much easier now to actually get a book done and to self-publish it and bring it to the world. There was recently a story about a girl named Amanda Hawking, and this young girl who self-published her books. I think they were like paranormal novels or something like that. And she ended up self-publishing her books, which is so easy to do now. She got them up on, you know, online, available at Amazon.com, maybe BarnesandNoble.com as well, I'm not sure. And she started to sell them. You know, she started selling. And, you know, at the end of the day, the number one best way to sell books is word of mouth. Absolute best way. Now, obviously, you have to get the books out there for people to even start to read them so they can tell their friends. But her books had the word-of-mouth appeal, so people started telling other people about it. Next thing you know, she's selling, you know, tens of thousands of books. And by the end of the year, last year, she had sold a few hundred thousand copies of her book. And the beginning of this year, January, in that month alone, I think she had sold 400,000 copies of her book. And she self-published that book. Now, what's really exciting about being a self-published author today is two things. Number one, that ebook sales tripled last year, and they're anticipating they're going to triple again. And the other thing is that Amazon has now made it that an author of an ebook will get paid 70% royalties. 70% royalties for their book. So even though her books might have been like $3.99, she's getting 70% of that. And if you start to do the math on several hundred thousand books, you know, great opportunity. This girl is kicking butt. I mean, she's really doing well out there. So, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, great opportunity. It's much easier now. You know, a lot of people, you know, love the aspect of, you know, that when they write their book, it actually causes people to have an immediate response of, okay, they must be an expert. It gives you a lot of credibility to have a book. And so that's another reason why people are doing it. And, you know, I don't think it's necessarily an ego, you know, boost or ego experience. I think people really want to get their messages out, and everybody's got something to say. You know, people have had an experience. You know, I was talking to one of my clients this morning, and I was telling her about a woman who wrote a book called Cancer is a Gift. I'm not sure if it's out there in the world. She's from the Netherlands. She self-published a book. She started selling it over there. I guess it was written in her native language, and now she's translated it into English, and she's trying to get a publisher. And so she had this experience of, you know, going through cancer right after her child was born, and she just decided, you know what, I'm not going to buy into the gloom and doom of this. I'm going to choose to live. I'm going to find other ways of healing myself. And she just had this absolute, complete determination and faith. And she did. And so she just really wants to share her message, you know, how cancer was a gift in her life and how, you know, what she did can be a positive impact on others. And so I think the reason why there's so many people doing books or wanting to do books is because everybody's got a message to share. Everyone's got a story to share. And the world's waiting for them. Like, we're just hungry for them.
Yeah, because when I'm doing the readings, they almost look at me and they're like, not me. But you know it's coming in their future, so it's kind of fun. Yeah. Now, Jackie is another one of our co-hosts, and she has a question for you.
Great. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Peggy. Awesome show. I have a quick question. What would you say is, how much would having faith contribute to selling the book, as opposed to what the book is about and the marketing? You know, how does the law of attraction play into, I know you share the story here, but how does the law of attraction play into really making your book a success?
Success? You know, I think it's all part of the, you know, the sort of the throw it in the mix, right? Throw it in the bowl and mix it up. I think the law of attraction is really important. It's like anytime I'm teaching something, even though it may be marketing techniques or online marketing skills or strategies, you know, every part of my program includes and always will include the law of attraction, because I really believe it's such a critical element. You know, you think of golf, right? The game of golf, professional game of golf. And you ask a golfer, professional golfer, how much of your game is skill and how much of your game is mental? And like, even look at Tiger Woods, you know, what's gone on in his life over the past few years and how his game, you know, is suffered and struggling. And I mean, he's trying to get it back. I mean, he's really working on it. But, you know, big part of it is the mental aspect of it. Now, is he qualified? Sure. You know, does he have the ability? Absolutely. He's proven it to us. But what's happened is he's got the psychological thing that's been going on that's really affecting his game. Same thing for authors. You know, I'll be talking to an author and I'll hear it in their voice that they're insecure. You know, they don't believe in their book and they don't believe in their work. And I'll say to them, I said, that will impact the results of what's going to manifest in your life. And they say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you're talking to me about your book and you don't really believe in it and you don't really believe in your message, you don't think it's important or that other people need to hear it, that's going to come through. It's going to come through in everything. It's like when you start reaching out to complete strangers and you're saying, hey, I need your support to help launch my book or market my book, and you don't really believe in it, or you look at them as some superior being and you're inferior, that's going to affect you. So we got to get on the level playing field and just, you know, come from our heart. Like when I started marketing my book, you know, completely unknown, didn't know any of these people, but, you know, I wasn't intimidated because it was a Marianne Williamson or somebody who was big in the industry, because here's what I believe. They put their pants on the same way I do, right? And they had needs. They had desires. They started somewhere, too. And if I need to get out there, I'm going to just ask them. And if they say no, I'm not any worse off. And I'm not really concerned about that, because my desire was not from some kind of a you know, desire to fill a need for Peggy. My desire came from, I want to help other people in this world. Now, granted, it did fill needs for Peggy, too, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing because, the better I do, the more I can help. Like, I always put money back in the business and bring out more stuff, bring out more products. You know, I give, contribute, donate, and things like that. So, I really believe that when we can be successful in it, that it can help us, do better in the world. So to answer your question, I think it's an absolutely vital element that has to be there because if it isn't, I think, results can be totally sabotaged.
Right. Thank you. And it probably would take a lot longer than, like you said, sort of keeping everything all in line and check and really checking to see, where your beliefs are. And you do this obviously for a living, so you can hear people who are really passionate or maybe people have other agendas for their book and not really coming from an inspired place.
Oh, yeah. I get on the phone with someone. I'll tell you what their beliefs are. I talk to them on the phone. It's like radar. I know exactly what their struggles are. What their challenges are, and I want to help them, and I'm going to share that with them. And they'll start sending me emails and show me what they've been sending out to other people. I can see it. I can feel it. I can taste it. I can touch it. It's like, I know what it is. So,
right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Peggy, you're just talking about your intuition and stuff. Do you consider yourself to be psychic?
You know what? I would say yes. Absolutely. I believe that we all are. And obviously it's a skill that I think should be honed and understood. but I have total faith in that. It's like I make decisions and I'll make it based on a feeling. I've done that with real estate many times, where I've gone to look at a property and walked in the door and said, I'm buying this place, and it's like totally, completely way out of the price range that I was in. And I'm thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to make this happen, but I'm making it happen. I know I'm going to be living here. It's like when my husband and I listed our house this week, and I just sort of look for what am I feeling and what's going to happen, at this point. And I have absolute confidence that, and it's part of an intuitive, I'd say intuition is definitely a big role, and I feel very strongly that, we're going to sell our house, and I think we're going to sell it fast, and we're going to find the perfect place, the perfect place that is the sanctuary that I'm really looking for, because to me, my environment is really important, because I'm a creative person. I want to be surrounded by nature. I need the nature around me. I find nature nurturing, and we had moved actually just 8 months ago, and I just don't find the current location nurturing. So I said to my husband, we're moving again. He's like, oh, my God.
The agents must
like,
love you.
I'm not. And I said, I'll tell you what, honey, I'm going to send you away for a week to go golfing. I'll take care of everything. I don't mind taking care of anything. I'll give you the address so you know where to come home when you get back from your trip.
He must have been relieved of that.
I think a little bit, but not totally. But
so, now, is there anything on the horizon that you want to share with us? Any new books or new programs that you can share?
Yeah, I'm actually working on something really exciting. It's called the Master Manifestors. And one of my great friends is Arielle Ford, and she always calls me the Master Manifestor. And the reason she does that is her and I have been friends for many years, and we are mastermind buddies. So what we do is every week on Monday morning, I'll send her. Now, she's in California. I'm in Ottawa, so I'm Eastern time zone. She's Pacific. And I'll send her a list. Okay, here's what I'm doing this week. Here's my accomplishment list. And she'll send me back hers. And we meet up 3 times a week on the phone and talk about our accomplishments. We support each other. And so she'll see things on my list like, I'm going to generate, $100,000 in revenue this week or something like that. And she'll go like, oh, my God, here she goes again, right? Or I'm going to buy this property. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to attract this. I'm going to do this. And it's not like she rolls her eyes and doesn't believe me, but, she's at a point now. She goes, well, of course. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, you're the master manifester. So she calls me the master manifester. And and so I love manifesting. I really love it, and I love teaching people how to do it too. So I decided that, there's so many skills, so many things that we can do to manifest. And I see people trying some things, they don't work, and they're like, well, it doesn't work for me. I have a vision board, it doesn't work. And there's reasons for that, right? So I decided I'm going to pull all these great manifestors, people that are already manifesting stuff, and I'm going to put it into a program. I'm going to teach people how to you know, apply, learn what these manifestation techniques are, and learn how to apply them in their lives. So it's not anywhere on my site. I would suggest, if anyone's interested in knowing more about that, subscribe to my newsletter, which is on the front page of my site, destinies.com. Just go to www.destinies.com, look for the Achieve Your Goals newsletter, sign up. I will be letting people know about it soon. We're pulling it all together, getting everything ready. So that's one of the most exciting projects that I'm working on right now. I'm also traveling all over doing videotaping of Bob Proctor and, you know, many other greats who are manifestors, and they're going to be in it, you know, part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever, like, look at your life and just sort of go, oh my goodness, how did I get here? Like,
yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's just like, and I give thanks for it every single day. There's just not a day that goes by I'm not grateful for all of it. And really, really, you know, when I think about it, like, I script, you know, one of my manifestation techniques is I script my life, and I listen to my script every day. And I mean, there were a number of years ago, I didn't have a relationship. I was alone, you know, mom and everything like that. But, you know, the successful business, generating the revenue that I'm doing, and, you know, having the health and all these things in my life, the friends, the relationships, the travel, and everything that I had scripted has come to fruition. And it's just like, it's not that I want to pinch myself, because it's believable. You know, it's like an experience that I had the experience before I actually had the manifestation of it, if that makes sense. So it's like, and that's part of manifesting, is that you got to feel as if you've already achieved that which you desire. Know what that feels like, feel the feelings, and then you will attract it into your life. And so I had felt, you know, like being a New York Times bestselling author, I had felt that for a long time before it manifested. And then it did, you know, so it's like, wow, this is super cool how it works. I mean, it still amazes me how it works, even though I have it working for me every day. Everybody has it working for them, but it still amazes me.
Do you find it's faster? Like, I noticed that, like, I'll just think about something, then it's like there, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even like do anything. Like, do you notice lately it's getting faster?
Yeah, and it's kind of scary sometimes, because if you're not 100% sure, you got to be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. That's so true. Now, is there any new books, or are you sticking more with the your online stuff?
I'm looking at doing two books, actually. One I'm going to call The Master Manifestors. And,
oh, good.
Yeah, and another book I'm looking at writing, I've already got the title and the subtitle. So the title's called Offline. And the subtitle is Turn Off Technology and Reclaim Your Life.
Wow. Yeah, so, speaking of that, what is a day like for you? Like, do you work, or do you get some downtime?
I'm a pretty high energy person, but you know, I have evenings off most of the time, and here we are, it's, you know, Thursday night and we're on the phone. But most of the time I'm not working, although I was teaching a class on Tuesday night. But I do everything I can to take my weekends off, although Sunday morning I'll be working on a presentation, and then the next weekend I'll be in Denver presenting. So the following weekend I'm in Toronto videotaping. So, you know, I'd say it's full. I'd say my schedule is relatively full. And the fun part is my husband's retired.
Congratulations. So, you won.
Oh.
Did we win?
What was that? I don't know what we won. That was kind of funny. I don't know what happened there. We'll keep talking anyways. So your husband's retired? Oh, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I think we're still on the line, so we might as well keep talking, but I don't know. I guess we won something.
So
your husband's retired?
Yeah, and he has a very relaxed lifestyle. And we're very different, like, you know, polar opposites. You know, he's relaxed. He doesn't do a lot. You know, he might go play golf, you know. And I'm just the energizer bunny who's go, 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 go all the time. And if I'm not go, 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 I'll find something to get, you know, going or doing.
So, you know, they're saying they don't even know what that was. Isn't that interesting, Peggy? Do you think it was spirit just telling us we won something?
I absolutely believe that. Isn't that exciting? That is very exciting. So
it's exciting. We all win. We have to go buy a lottery ticket.
Uh-huh. That was great.
Oh, now you have so many books. You have Destiny Switch, Viral Explosions, Distinction of Wealth, Be a Dog with a Bone, and The One Thing. What's your favorite one?
You know, it's kind of like children. You know, if I asked a mother who had eight children, who's your favorite child? You know, I guess they're all, you know, favorites in different ways. And so, you know, and I would say that about my books as well. The one that's done the best is Your Destiny Switch. You know, my books are now in 31 languages, and I think that book alone is you know, in many, many, many languages. I don't know how many in total. And it's done exceedingly well. But they sort of all have, like, Be a Dog with a Bone. I wrote that when I became an author because I realized if you're not a dog with a bone and you're an author, you might as well just pack it up because it's so important. And Viral Explosions is what I did to sort of get myself online. And the one thing is sort of like my life of searching for this one thing. You know, there must be one thing that's going to, you know, really make me successful, and realizing it's not one thing, it's many things, and although it could be one thing. And and 21 Distinctions of Wealth were affirmations that I used to really turn my life around financially. So they all have a special place in my heart.
Was there any that were more fun to write, or they were all the same?
Well, I had a ghostwriter write some of my books for me, actually. And so, you know, I wrote a book actually in a weekend last November, a book called 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Marketing on the Internet. It's a fairly new book that's out. And that was a lot of fun to write because I wrote it in a weekend. And then I work with authors to show them how to write their book in a weekend. As a matter of fact, I have authors that come to my house and we'll get their book done in a weekend. that's fun that, too. You know,
that would be
great.
I
get my whip out and away we go. No, I don't get a whip out, but we'll get it done.
Swing over next weekend. So anyways, we're coming to the end of our show, and I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show and for being you. And it was such a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Peggy, you take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Peggy. So to contact Peggy, please visit her website at www.destinies.com. Or you can contact her on the guest page at Psychic Access Talk Radio. So so please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint at Psychic Access and we're all on Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit psychicaccess.com because we'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For details,
please,
you can visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen
enter
to the Psychic Viewpoint.
The
there is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. So we're coming up to, there'll be readings probably around 9:15, and the call-in number for the readings at the show are 724-444-4851. Now we come to the time in the show where we have a little chat with our co-hosts. So, Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Sharon.
How
good
are
show.
You doing? It was good.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
She's lovely, eh? So, tell us how you know an idea is coming from an inspired place or from a fearful place.
Well, it's actually quite simple. An inspired idea. I mean, we get a lot of inspired ideas, throughout the day. However, the one that comes through in a rush with the energy of hurry up or else is not an inspired idea. Because inspired ideas are, some are subtle, some are a little more profound, but they're not fear-based. You don't feel uneasy following through on an inspired idea. It feels comfortable. It's challenging. You may need to step out of your comfort zone, but you don't ever fear that, you know, your worst fears aren't going to ever be exposed. It's not anything that you would do that is uncomfortable. There's a difference between stepping out of your comfort zone, like something you know you need to do because it's just part of breaking a pattern or a belief, like, okay, this might be frightening, but I know I'm not going to die of embarrassment if I do it. Or an idea that comes through like, you know, you have 10 minutes or else it's never going to happen again. You know, there's a lot of those sort of things on the internet, you know, those kind of scams you got to watch out for, you know, this sort of work at home, you know, and you have 10 minutes to respond or it's never going to happen again. Just trust your intuition on those things and be a little wary. A lot of things is common sense. I feel the sixth sense is common sense. More of a heightened sense of it. So you really got to get in touch with yourself and see how you feel, number one, when an idea comes through. Because an inspired idea is not going to scare you to a point where you're like, if I don't do this, I'm going to die and it's never going to happen. And that's actually the beauty of an inspired idea. It's okay if you don't get it right there and then. Another one will come through. They're always coming through. So if you think you miss it, you can always ask Spirit, just say, okay, I think I missed that idea, or, you know, it came in and I didn't get it. Bring me some more, you know, bring me some ideas. How could I work through this, or what can I do? So it's very simple. We can ask and then it will come through. But sometimes ideas just come through because we're asking all the time. I don't think half of us realize, you know, we have these little conversations with ourselves and we do manifest, like you were saying to Peggy and yourself, you know, manifesting much more rapidly and quickly. We're all capable of doing that. You know, we do it all the time. We're just not aware of what's going on. So as we become more aware, it'll seem like we're manifesting quickly, but it was always there. We just weren't conscious to it.
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought. Like, do you think it's just because we're changing and that's why the manifesting is coming quicker, or do you think the energy is changing? What do you think, Jackie?
I think we're changing because certainly the energy on the earth is shifting and things are getting shaken up a bit. But we as humans are changing and we're adapting to that. Some people aren't going to be able to resonate at that energy, and that's just the way it is. I mean, everybody's here for a reason. We all have a different purpose. You know, people like us and people who are drawn to this work are already on the path, already open to that. People in the lower energy, the different consciousness of, you know, woe is me, I'm such a victim, everybody's out to get me, life sucks, blah, blah, blah. We don't know how they're going to react when things change. So it's a good question, though, Sharon, but I feel like it's a co-creative process. You know, it takes both of us, because even if the outside was changing, if we aren't meeting where it's at, we're not going to be aware of it. So we're going to catch up to it. And it's interesting. Sorry, I want to say one more thing, and I talk a lot.
It's okay, don't keep going. I like it.
The inspiration's coming through. No. But what happens is, okay, and I lost it. But anyway, so no, it's we just need to be ready for that and adapt to that. Oh, as I was going to say, when we're not, more things will show up to get our attention. Like, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. When are you going to get it? You know, that's why people keep repeating over and over and over. Like, why do these things keep happening? Well, where's the lesson? What do you need to look at? Because obviously it's there for a reason. So,
yeah. I was called the Mack truck. It's coming. So pay attention, or the Mack truck's coming.
Yes.
So that's great, Jackie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Steve, hi. Are you there?
Hey, Sharon. Great show.
Thank you. So, Steve, do most people set goals?
Well, most people don't. That's the fact. I'm really keen on setting goals because, for me, it's a really important part of the law of attraction. And, you know, when you speak to a client and you see that they aspire to something in life, whether it's a relationship or a new job or starting a business or improving their health, their fitness, if they don't have goals, then they don't necessarily make the right amount of progress. So I often ask clients if they have set goals that relate to the things that they want to achieve. And there are some statistics available on the internet. I think that it says something like 80% of people don't set goals. So that would be 20% of people that do. And this is information based upon surveys in North America. But it goes on to say that of the 20% of people that do set the goals, a small percentage reach their goals. And when you look at why that is, it's because people don't take action. So I always emphasize to clients, whatever you want to achieve, you do need to set goals. And you also have to take action. In actual fact, one of the criticisms I have of a well-known book is that it doesn't emphasize taking action, and people often feel that, you know, if they're visualizing what they want, then the law of attraction brings it to them. I believe very much, and my guides always teach, that we do also have to take steps of action to get where we want to be. And it's when we make that effort, the universe really gets behind us. But just for people who do want to set goals, there's a great tool called SMART Goals. So SMART is an acronym, and it's a tool that's used in businesses for goal setting, but it applies equally to personal goals. And SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. So a good goal should be specific, it should be measurable, it should be achievable, it should be realistic, and it should be time-bound. I add an I to the beginning of it, so I talk about I SMART, because it's all well and good having a goal and it being specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, but if it doesn't inspire me in some way, then I'm not likely to put it high up my priority list. So I always say to people, set goals that are I SMART. They should be SMART, but they should be inspirational for you. And if we set those goals and we take action and hold ourselves accountable, we can make a lot of progress. And that's what successful people do.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the joke when the person wants to win the lottery but doesn't buy the ticket.
Absolutely.
You know that old joke? Yeah, that's
good. To be in it to win it.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Jackie, what is your definition of inspiration? What is that definition of inspiration?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not my definition, but I'm going to read you one that here's one that I like. This is from a website, a Wikipedia.org, and it actually pertains to inspiration in terms of creativity. So here, let me read this quickly. Inspiration refers to an unconscious burst of creativity in a literary, musical, or other artistic endeavor. Literally, the word means breathed upon, as it has its origins in both Hellenism, probably not saying that right, and Hebraism. I'm going to stop there. It goes into some other Greek names and other meanings. But if you think about that definition, unconscious, number one, and unconscious, our unconsciousness is where our beliefs and those sort of things hide out and hang out in there. But yet we're living sometimes unconsciously, where we're on autopilot, we're doing things and we're just not aware of them. So what happens is when we learn to slow down, I mean, everything comes from the unconscious. I'm not saying everything. I would say 90% of things that we do is unconscious and 10% of it is conscious. You know, that the challenge comes in balancing those two and becoming more aware of what we do unconsciously. Because when we're able to become more aware of that, that's when we're able to change things. I know I'm getting off track here, but that's where we're able to change things. Because if we're doing things and we're like, why do I keep doing this? Why, what's wrong with me? You know, why do I keep doing the same thing over and over? Obviously, if we were conscious of it, we wouldn't be doing it. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more digging deeper within. You know, a lot of it we know we shouldn't do, but then something triggers inside of us unconsciously, and then we do it again. So when it goes back to probably beliefs, maybe there's a part of us that somebody was saying in the chat room, Marianne Williams said, you know, there's more of a fear of being successful than a fear of failing. So there's a lot of those things sort of hidden in the unconsciousness. But I like it how where that's where all the creativity, things like that come from. So it's worth exploring your unconsciousness. It's not a scary place. You know, we always talk about, oh, we have to heal ourselves and change patterns. But yet on the flip side, there's also good things hidden under there that we do. But yet as a society, we're taught to focus on the negativity. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, the media, people's conversations. And so, but we don't go into the other side. And then when we do, we don't believe it. And, you know, it's sad. It really is. But I think unconsciously, all those answers lie within. So it's worth exploring.
Yeah. It's interesting, Jackie, that you said about the creativity, because I'm finding that coming a lot up in the readings lately, that people are, they'll find their passion through their creativity, you know? They'll move forward.
Well, that's exactly what it is, because when we're living from that inspired place, that it flows, it's effortless, it's not work, it's not a struggle. And most of us don't live in that place because we're at a job where we do it for money, but we're not feeling inspired, we're not feeling passionate about being there. And that's terrible, but that's how much energy and focus people put on money, but yet they let everything else in their life suffer, you know, their relationships with their family. And ultimately what tends to happen is their health will kick in and they're on the floor or in bed with some illness or some problems. And then, you know, the wake up call, well, you know, you need to kind of put things in perspective. So it's a lot of balancing, but certainly living from that creative place, I think, makes a world of difference. And letting go of the idea about money, you know, hey, money will come, but you know, that's a whole nother ball of wax. So we won't get into
that's
that here.
True. Yeah. I forgot where I was going there. It's okay. I lost that. I don't know where I was going. Okay. That's interesting, Jackie. Thank you.
Sure.
So, Steve, can you tell us about a good goal that you use for goal setting and achievement?
Yes. Well, I like vision boards, Sharon. I always encourage clients to create a vision board because I think often we get daunted by goal setting. And if you create a vision board, it's fun. It's more relaxing way of thinking about your goals or your objectives. So I have a vision board for the year, and I create it at the beginning of each year. And it's a visual vision of the things I want to achieve in the year. And then on the back of that, I have in effect, which breaks down in the first column the different goals I want to achieve in the year. So they can be business related, they can be relationship related, home, finances, wellness, anything you want to put on there. And then I have a column for each month, but space for 4 stickers in each box. So each month, or actually each week, I can look at my vision board and say, okay, these are the things I want to achieve this year. I can look at the reverse side of the vision board and say to myself, okay, for each of these different goals, am I on target or not this week? So am I making towards the goal I have here? Basically have red stickers and green stickers. It's either on target or it's not on target. And it gives me a really great visual each day so that I can see, well, where is the red and where do I want to prioritize my time and my energy so that I can get my goals to green. And it's just a fun, simple tool, but it's so effective at staying focused upon your goals, tracking them, and knowing where you need to put your time and energy to achieve the goals that you've set for the year or and the month.
That's the most organized one I've ever heard of. I think you should market that one, Steve.
Oh, maybe. Well, it's just a whiteboard with stickers and scribbles on it, you know, and then a grid on the back. It's very inexpensive to do, but and it's fun because, you know, we get a real thrill from making progress and achieving our results. So if we've set our goals genuinely and they're things that we're passionate about, things that we're committed to, then it gives you a great buzz to see yourself making progress and to see those stickers or see more green appearing.
Sounds like fun. Oh, that's good. And it works for you, I'm assuming? You get your goodies?
Well, I don't always achieve everything. I think if you've got a vision board or if you've got a goal tracking tool and everything's on green, then you have to question whether you're setting your sights high enough. So I've got plenty of things on green, but I've got lots of things on red. I know where I need to focus. And as I said, if everything was green, then I'd be reviewing the goals to see if I'm aiming high enough.
Well, it sounds great. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
So remember, we're doing readings, and the number is 724-444-4851. You'll be put on hold, and you'll be answered in the order that they're received. So, Jackie, how do you teach others to be inspired or listen to their inspiration?
It's a good question. I think simply, number one is getting out of our head. So by doing things that, you know, we talked about before, Sharon, about being creative, having fun. I mean, do we even know what it's like to have fun anymore? We need to give ourselves permission to have fun, to be creative, to be outside. Being in nature in that energy of the earth is a place where you receive a lot of inspiration. You know, something that inspires you, going to a museum, you know, but the key is to get out of the analytical mind and try not to judge things, just being. I mean, we're human beings, and we need to remember that first and foremost. And then, of course, we carry all these other labels and hats and things, you know, as human beings, you know, the moms, the wife, the husband, the teacher, the psychic, the whatever, you know, we have a lot of different identities. But at the core, it's about being. And by just allowing yourself to be, and you know, you don't have to go into a meditative trance or anything like that. There are things you can do that doesn't require thinking, as long as you're not using your head. So it's really important to keep that in mind, because then spirit is room now. You know, you're not busy, 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 so there's room for spirit to come through. Because inspiration, a definition that I heard, is in spirit. So the inspiration comes from spirit. You know, it's just the channel that it uses. So it's quite simple. We got to remember to, and of course, have fun and enjoy ourselves, and things will come through. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And you know, Jackie, I remembered what I wanted to talk about was when you were talking about work, where we do a work that we don't enjoy. But I wanted to say that it's important to enjoy, even if you don't like something, find some good in it. Because if you hate something and you're sending that vibration out to it every minute of every day, and you're not ready to move away from that, there's a reason you're there. So enjoy it and find some good in it, and only good can come from that.
Well, exactly, and you're right on. It's the gratitude. You know, being grateful for something brings more things to be grateful for, and doesn't mean it's going to show up in that realm. But looking at the situation for the value in it. Okay, maybe I hate going to a job, but what does it provide? Well, it's money that provides me, you know, food for the table and clothes and a house and mortgage. And it doesn't mean you can't still follow your passion on the side and then sort of merge, you know, and transcend and transition out of there eventually. But you're right. Everything does serve us in that moment. But it's perfect. You know, finding the gratitude is huge, you know, in everything, the good and the bad, you know, and everything serves us because it's showing up unconsciously, to us for a reason. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always right where we need to be, right?
You got it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have a quick commercial break and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We've come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call in first due to the wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Please be very specific and direct with your question, as this will allow for us to better connect with your situation. Now, I believe we have someone on the phone from Georgia for Jackie. Is there anyone there from Georgia?
My name is Darlene.
Darlene? And, okay, Jackie, we'll be taking your call.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I'm thinking about starting a home-based business, and I'd like to know if I do, will it be successful, or should I just forget about it at this time?
Oh, don't forget about it, Darlene. I think what I'm hearing clearly is this is a very exciting time, number one. And number two, just do a little research right now. Try not to get overwhelmed about the idea of, oh my God, this whole business and everything's going to change and I don't know what to do. All you really need to do is what they're showing me is, you know, take little steps. You could find people who are doing it right now. Pick up some books. There's online courses. There's so much available to you. And there is no reason, what I'm getting energetically from you, there is nothing that would stop you from being successful at this. It just takes a little bit of education and knowledge. May I ask if this is sort of a spiritual aligned business? Because I'm getting this impression that there's going to be a lot of serving, your spiritual essence is going to come through in this business. That's why I asked that question.
Actually, it's more of a, it's a life insurance, but we also will be teaching and educating people as to their finances and different things like that.
Okay. Okay. But for you particularly, what I'm sensing is your spiritual gifts and things are awakening, which contributes to why this desire to start this business. And also, they want me to let you know to remind you to make sure you take time out as well, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of determination. You're going to be busy as you move forward. Things are going to just show up for you. You're going to have ideas, and all of a sudden, people are going to provide those answers. Like, oh, I was wondering about that, and here is, you know, John, for example, who answered the question I was just wondering. So those things are going to come to you quite effortlessly, actually. But they want me to remind you to please take time for yourself, because you are going to be busy. And most importantly, protect yourself from anybody, any naysayers, anybody, because I feel like there's a few of those around you, quite honestly, who are going to try to say, listen, you're nuts. What are you doing? Why are you trying to do this? It's ridiculous. I'm here to tell you, Darlene, that's not the case. So those people are just showing up from their own place And underneath all that, they're jealous that you have this determination and this desire to pursue something as starting a home-based business. Because it's very important to you in the next journey of your life is to be empowered. You know, it's more than a business. It's about empowering yourself and showing other women that you can do this at any age, at any time in your life. So it's a bigger picture here. But yes, you will be successful. Take your time, do the research, and definitely reach out to others. There are people out there who are willing to help you and provide resources for you.
Well, I do appreciate that. You've answered a lot of my questions.
You're welcome, and good luck. And please keep in touch and let us know how everything goes with you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great reading, Jackie.
Oh,
that
thank
was
you.
Good. Now we have a caller for Rez from Maryland. Are you there, Maryland?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. How are you all tonight?
Good. What's your name, please?
It's Kathleen.
Okay, Kathleen. Rez Miranda is going to be doing your reading tonight.
Perfect. Kathleen, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome. What can I help you with?
I have started doing some artwork, and I have these wonderful premonitions of things that I would like to paint. And I started doing one that didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I think that I got intimidated by that. But I have these wonderful ideas, and it's been going on for a long time. Just can't seem to sit down and play and just have fun without the expectations or without, you know, I'm too maybe hooked into what the result should be.
Okay. The opinions of others and judgment and stuff like that, that can definitely be intimidating. I know what you mean. Something I got as soon as you started talking was that you dream about what you should paint.
Mm-hmm.
Your dreams tell you that they want you to paint them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. What, first of all, I do see you being successful with your work, monetarily, I mean, and having a show. Spirit tells me you would like to have your own show, your own exhibit. And, you know, along with the fear of being not well known enough, you know, that's something you just have to stop doing right now. Just quit it. what's going to help you remove the block that you're experiencing is creating a sacred space. And I'm not talking about some complicated ritual or big to do or changing your religion or anything like that. But what's going to help is that if you physically, when you get ready to paint or when you get ready to play with your colors and your images and the dreams and the entities and the wonderful scenarios that come to you, you're putting the other world on canvas and on paper. You're putting parallel universes and all the people who live in them and in dream time on canvases and on paper. So when you get ready to do that, to create your sacred space, all you have to do is say, within this barrier, within these walls, or you can literally imagine a circle around you, a circle of light in which you become part of this other world. And I know that you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. from there, absolutely anything can happen and absolutely nothing can stop you. And until you're ready to leave that sacred space, you won't have blocks. You won't have, because in your sacred space, no one judges you. There's no opinions. There's no final outcome. There is only you and your muses. After that, it's out of your control anyway. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. Totally yeah. does. Especially
that's
not, with
right.
entering that space where, in that other realm.
Right, right. And after you give birth to your art, it's never something you can control, and you don't get to own it after that anyway. So there's no point in allowing outside concerns and fears to bother you, because did you know that fear is what stops you from fulfilling your destiny?
Exactly. And I know that this is what it is. I'm just, the fear is that people aren't going to get it or not understand it, or it's not going to, it's not going to be precise, you know, or
sure.
The way it's, people expect it to be.
Right. What you mean to come through, you're afraid won't come through. And I can understand that. But sometimes we think that our job is more than it really is. And it limits us and it stops us. And what our job is as artists, musicians, even spiritual teachers, is to do what we're called to do. What happens with it after that, you don't get to decide, and it's not up to you. But because you're fulfilling your calling and doing what you're supposed to be doing, then spirit and the universe, other people's guides, I promise you, it will reach and touch and be comprehended by those who it's meant for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that help?
Yep, that makes total sense.
Good.
That's great.
And please
thank you ever so much.
You're so very welcome. And please keep in touch with us on Psychic Access and our free chat rooms, will you? I would love to talk with you more about this anytime, and I'm sure we all would.
That's great, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kathleen. Talk soon. Blessings.
Blessings. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Rez. That was a great reading. It was inspiring.
It was to me too. You know, you just have to listen to spirit, don't you?
Yeah, she was very connected to spirit. So, Steve, we have a caller here from New York City. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name, please?
Anne.
Steve's going to be taking your call tonight.
Okay.
Hi, Anne. How are you doing?
Okay. Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Anne. How can I help you?
Well, I just wanted to know when I'm going to meet the one person I'm supposed to, you know, be with.
Let me see. Well, and the first thing that comes up for you is that you've had a rough time with relationships. You really haven't had a lot of luck when it comes to relationships in the past. I'm drawn particularly to one relationship in the past that was quite hurtful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not taking you, my guides are not taking you back there because they want to cause you any pain or distress. But they are saying to you that you still have some emotional issues that go back to that relationship, and these are issues that you really should work through. You've done some good work, but my guides are saying to you that they really encourage you to address that past and to get the support and the healing that will help you just to work through and let go of that past relationship. Okay, so that's the first thing that they say. Does that make sense?
Yes. Was that my marriage?
Well, I actually see two relationships, two long-term relationships, one longer, and I'm given the number 7, actually. Were you married for 7 years, or does the month of July, the 7th month, come up as significant around the marriage?
No, it doesn't.
Because my guides are giving me the number 7. They're going. It's either going back 7 years, or it would be a period of 7 years, or it'll be the 7th month. But I that said, if you have a think about it, have a think about the different dates, because my guides are usually pretty accurate when it comes to the time frames. So just see if the month of July is significant in some way. But in answer to your question, it does feel more your marriage. Was it your marriage that
had financial difficulties. There's quite a lot of financial stress around the relationship that I'm referring back to.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so it's that one. And they're just saying, work through that. There's not a problem. They're just saying, you know, to really move forward, we need to look backwards and address any issues or lessons from the past. So they're just encouraging you to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, my guides are saying you're a little bit disorganized when it comes to your social life. And that's not a criticism. My guides are just making that observation and saying to you that you really need to socialize more. You really need to get out there and meet like-minded people. You feel, from what my guides are showing me, it feels as though you're staying out of circulation more than you should be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're saying to you, you know, really get out there and get your social life organized. Really identify groups of people and, you know, people that have like-minded interests. And you have a lot of spiritual interests and artistic interests as well, they're saying. So they're saying to you, get out there and mix with people that are like-minded and get your social life organized. And if you do that, you'll meet some wonderful people and you'll see that you'll have a much better chance of meeting the right partner. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at when it happens in answer specifically to your question about when you will meet your partner. Are you still in contact with your ex-husband?
No.
No, okay. I do feel your ex-husband getting in contact, and my guides are saying just beware of that situation. Don't get involved. Focus upon yourself and your life. I'm drawn to the months of September and October for you. And my guides are saying, basically, if you get your social life organized and you can really work through and let go of the past, then you're very likely to meet a very compatible partner September, October. So if I get 2 months from my guides, then it would be either the end of September or the beginning of October. So that's the time frame I get for you. And they give me the number 27 as well. You're going to find that the number 27 is significant in this relationship that's coming to you. You may find that your partner's birthday is the 27th or you meet on the 27th. But remember the number 27 because it's a very auspicious number for you. It's a sign of a strong connection and a connection that will serve you both well and be long-lasting. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Lots of luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Great reading, Steve. So now we have someone here from New York. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can I have your name, please?
Sure, it's Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. I'm going to be doing your reading tonight, so did you have a question?
Yes. I just started a new job, and I'm already upset about it, and I'm worried about it, and I feel like I don't want to even keep the new job, even though I don't want to be picky.
Okay. Now I'm feeling that you have you given it a fair shake? How long have you been there?
It's only been a week, but I feel like they're not giving me a chance. Like there's two people there, Nicole and Sarah, who have been working there a long time already. And I feel like, you know, they're not giving me a chance to prove myself.
That happens sometimes in new jobs because they've been there a long time and they don't want anybody to fit into their new little clique, right? So, but you know, I'm feeling if you persevere and you keep your head up and you be positive that things will shift around for you. Cause I am feeling this is going to be a good job for you. I like, I like the work you're doing for you. You know, let go of the social part of it. And I think part of you is like nervous when you go there. Like, it's like you think they're saying something or, you know, but you'll go beyond that and you'll go beyond them. So stay focused and stay with it, you know, and, you know, just get an affirmation. I have wonderful work in a wonderful way. I give wonderful service or wonderful pay or something really positive. Just a little Florence Scovel Shin there. Just be really, really positive and don't go in there hating it. You know, did you leave another job to go there?
No, I didn't. The thing is that I don't understand because the manager, Nicole, told me that I was doing a great job on Monday.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I have to be evaluated at the end of this week or Monday.
Okay. Well, maybe that's just their process. You know, are you getting nervous because of that or... You know, I'm just feeling persevere. I'm feeling that if you keep with it, I almost see you moving to another department and I'm seeing money floating down to you. So it's a good thing. Stay focused and stay with it. And I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised. Don't give in to the fear. Okay?
I had another quick question, if that's okay.
Okay, quick.
There's this guy named Dan, and I'm wondering right. how he feels about me or when we'll be together.
Okay. There's something there with this. I'm feeling, you know, I'm just feeling too much stress around this for you. I'm feeling that you're trying to control the situation, and you're going to have to let go. Because until you let go, you know, I feel there's someone else out there for you, and they can't get to you as long as you're staying focused on this one person. How long, like, do you know him well? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You know him well. Okay. You know, be careful of wasting time, because I just feel that somehow, is he available? Because I just sort of feel that, that there's something going on that I don't know. I just feel that you can move on beyond this. You know, it just feels like you're really stuck and you're going to have to let the universe help you. Okay. So I'll leave that with you and good luck with everything. Okay.
Thanks.
All right, Margaret, you take care. So the number to call in is 724-444-4851. Again, it's 724-444-4851. Now we have a caller from New Jersey. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name, please?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Jackie's going to do your reading tonight.
Okay. Hello, Steve, if you're there. Last week, I was so happy to get a response. Now I get nothing, and I'm, like, really, really getting stressed and getting disgusted. Should I just walk away and just forget about it?
Okay, Deborah, it's Jackie. I'm going to do your reading. Why don't you fill me in a little bit about what your question is, if you don't mind, Deborah.
I've been seeking a relationship with my friend again. Her name mm-hmm. is Francine. And last week I was so excited to get a response, Steve, so I was going to get a response, and I did. And it's like I was so happy, so excited that the drama is finally over. And now it's like blank, nothing. And I'm like, I'm getting really sick of it. I mean, I know he see a good future and a good summer, a good this and that. But I'm feeling the stress of the roller coaster ride. And I just feel like if they really care about me, what is the problem? I feel like we're best friends, we're sisters, we're whatever. And it's like I'm being played with, I feel like, mm-hmm. and I just like, should I just walk away? I'm just getting tired now.
Yeah, and you are. You're done, and that's what's happening here. My guides are showing me that you're right on with what you're feeling, what your gut is telling you. Sometimes things come to us, you know, in ways where it hurts so much that it's like we're done. We need to surrender all this. And that's okay to do that, Deborah. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm going to step away. I'm going to just shut the door. I'm going to put this behind me, and I'm going to move forward. That doesn't mean that you're cutting yourself off to any further communication. But what you are doing energetically, you're saying, I know I deserve better. I'm worthy of something more than what has come to me. And I'm going to allow myself to receive that. So what you're saying to yourself and to the universe is, you know what? I am done with this. And there's nothing wrong with that. So your emotions are ready to be healed now. So this is what's going on for you, what they're showing me, that it's okay where you're at. Because, you know, you are somebody you've beat yourself up enough, and you don't need somebody doing that. I'm not saying literally, but, you know, sort of this ping-ponging back and forth game. It's like, you don't need it. You just don't need it. You've done it. You know it well. You've played it well. It's old. It's old. It's time to put it away. It's time to say goodbye to that part of your life of being this back and forth. It's very unstable energy, and you've grown tired of it. But at the same time, you've also are recognizing that. So I see this as a positive, because some people would still sit in that for another 5-10 years, and who needs that? So allow this time now, Deborah, for your emotions to heal, and really set that intention to yourself that, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to just let myself let go of this. I'm going to release any resentment, any anger, anything I may be holding on to towards this person. Because you're going to carry that, and you don't want to. So you can give yourself permission. I definitely encourage that, to let that go now.
I miss the friendship, and I want the friendship. It's like I'm like a two sides to a wall. I wanted to say forget it. I'm just so sick of it, because it's up and down for me.
Right. But
in the same breath, I hope and a wish, and it's like, they don't seem to care, you know, or they do care, then it could be fear, it could be protection, it could be whatever it is, but we're not children, you know?
No, of course, and let them come to that decision. See, there's a part of you that wants to wish it into being, wishing it into manifesting. People have free will. You know, we can certainly manifest things for us. We don't have that control to change somebody else. Why she or he is feeling this way, I don't know, you know, but I know for you, what I feel for you is that it's very important to find peace with this. And clearly you are done with it. And I would like to ask, I mean, how much more would you be willing to pull it up with? Because if this is the way the pattern has been, it will continue unless something changes, and you could be that person to make that change by putting your foot down and saying, I'm no longer going to be a part of this. And that's really about just saying that to yourself, but what that does energetically, it shifts things, and then you'll start to respond differently. So even if you hear from this person again, you could be in a different place where, you know, you won't be so charged up emotionally. You won't be triggered. It'll just be like, okay, whatever, you know. And that's the beauty of working on healing yourself and letting things go. You'll be able to respond in a way if you hear from this person, which I feel you will eventually. It's not the end of it. But how are you going to continue to work through it when they show up? That's going to be your next step.
I need my peace of mind.
Yeah, and you deserve that. If she was to call, and it's a she, correct, Deborah?
Yes.
Your friend? Okay. If she was to call, you would be in a much different place, you know, to share with her how you feel about this situation.
Yeah.
And that's very empowering for you. And it also puts the message to her clearly that you are not going to allow this. You know what? I care about you. This relationship really meant something to me. But the relationship with myself means much more. And it is about putting yourself first and not allowing anybody, her or anybody else, to be treated that way. Because you deserve much better. And you'll feel empowered by letting this go, as I was saying before.
Okay,
Deborah. And it'll be okay. Just stay centered. Keep the faith. You know, call upon the angels. Archangel Michael is very, very powerful. If you feel guided and comfortable calling upon him, he's about giving you courage and strength. And, you know, you could just ask him every night or every day, just, you know, Archangel Michael, just be with me today. Help me to work through this. And he's there. He's got your back. I actually do feel he's with you. So just know that he's there for you. And you'd be surprised. Believe me, I work closely with with the archangels, and I call him all the time, and he's never let me down.
Okay,
so have you have a wonderful night, and lots of love to you, Deborah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, now we have a call. We have a question from the chat room, and Rez is the next reader. It's Concetta from the chat room.
Ah, okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Hi, Concetta. How are you? She's like freaked out going, she's talking to me. She's talking to me right now. Yes. I see her question about driving. She says she has a fear of driving and she's wondering how she can find inspiration and motivation. Oh, boy. I can understand that kind of fear because I didn't learn to drive until I was in my early 30s. And it was really because I had no choice. And so I was scared to death. Yet, however, the thing you have to really understand, and I think this was going back to an earlier call, the last reading that I did, was about not everything being under your control. And it doesn't mean that you're gonna go out there in a vehicle and everybody's gonna go crazy and they're gonna hit you and all of that. What you have to remember is that it's a learned skill, and that peace of mind and confidence comes the same way it comes with everything else. And that's just in practice. Practice, 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 you know, and you're not going by yourself. Even when you're with a driving instructor, you're not by yourself. And I'll tell you, the way that I learned how to drive, remember I said I didn't have any choice? I got in the car. I had to drive from Texas to Pennsylvania. Barely had gotten my license, absolutely barely, had never driven anywhere, much less halfway across the country. I was scared out of my mind. And what I did was the first day, it took about 3 days. The first day, Concetta, I'm saying, angels, I know you're with me. I know you're in the car. I know you're around the car. And I know that you're going to get me where I need to be. And something amazing happens. Miracles happen when you don't expect them. That's why they call them miracles. But your part is to have faith. And you know what happened? After about a day, all of a sudden I realized I was relaxed. I wasn't scared anymore. I could turn the radio on without being freaked out. And it wasn't because I suddenly got good at it or because I suddenly just decided to stop being scared. It's because I did it. It was the mere act of doing it, of stepping out in faith, making it happen, doing what you gotta do. And before long, when you're focusing on that and you know that you're not alone and you're just concentrating on what you have to do and you tell yourself to breathe and just relax, before you know it, the anxiety's gone, the fear is gone, and you're doing it. Something you think you could never do. You're doing it. You know, it's like stage fright. I spent a lot of time in the entertainment business too. I was in bands and stuff like that. And drama. I was a drama major in school. And when you step out, just before you do, you're scared out of your mind. But once you do and you get started, it goes away. So that's the secret. That's the key. Just get started and it'll go away. And I promise you, you're going to do great and you're going to be so happy that you did. And I'll know if you don't. So you can't chicken out. Okay. Come in and let us know how you're doing with that. Seriously.
That's great.
Yeah. You just got to get out there and do it. I mean, you know, it sounds, you go, well, easy for you to say, right? But, you know, you can't wait to feel differently before you do something. You have to do something, take action, and then you feel differently.
Great reading, Rez. So that kind of reminded me of what Steve was talking about with his little green dots.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. I wish to thank my co-hosts and our wonderful executive producer, Doug, for his ongoing commitment to an internet radio show like no other, The Psychic Viewpoint. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what can we look forward to next week?
A lot. We've got Shelley Hale with us next week. She's an amazing woman. She's a member of the Overseas Security Advisory Council. Which is a federal advisory committee with the U.S. government to promote security between American business and private sector interests. She's also a graduate of the Seattle FBI Citizens Academy. She's appeared on TV many times, and she is a, amongst other things, psychic crime fighter. She does a huge amount of work with a network of psychics to provide insight that's used to avoid, fight, and solve crimes, sometimes international crimes. She's an amazing psychic, amazing. I'll give you an example. We had storms in Knoxville earlier this week. I was about 30 seconds away from having a huge old tree collapse on my car. And Shelley called me that same evening and said, "Steve, I want you to be careful in your car because I saw a tree falling." She's just an amazing psychic. And I was actually able to say, "Shelley, you're very accurate. Fortunately, I missed it by about 30 seconds. So we're going to have a fantastic show all about psychic investigations and how psychic ability, remote viewing, etc., can be used to provide very valuable insight to avoid and solve crime. It'll be a fantastic show.
Sounds great. So, Jackie, do you have something to say?
Wow, you're fast. I only typed that in a second ago. Yes, I just do want to let everybody know that's listening. This actually was my last show. I'm departing from the Psychic Viewpoint just to pursue some other ventures, and really, really, really enjoyed my time here and promised to come and listen and certainly send some awesome guests your way. But I wanted just to share that with everybody. I'll still be on Psychic Access, of course. Would just no longer be a part of the radio show, but trust that everybody will business as usual and keep up the good work. And if I come back as a guest to help out, I will let everybody know, but I will be available for that. So
aww.
Let me say thank you to everybody, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to miss you, Jackie.
I'll be here in spirit.
So, and next week's show sounds great, Steve. Can't wait. It's going to be wonderful. So I just want to thank everyone for coming to the show and listening. And that I guess if everyone wants to say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Love to Maureen. See you next week.
Yes. Good night. Oh, yes. Sending blessings to Maureen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.